has chosen for his subject this afternoon, Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Again, he's going to speak to us on Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Brother Don.
Wonderful privilege it is to be with our brethren in convention. We've been looking forward to this for quite some time, and as the days get nearer to convention, our anxiousness to be with our brethren and to see their faces and to have fellowship with them grows and grows. We've been thinking a lot lately about what a wonderful thing it is to come and see our brethren year after year, knowing all the trials and difficulties that they go through during the year, and to see that they haven't been sifted, and that they're still trusting in the Lord and appreciating Him. And that's a blessing that we can all have each time we come together, because that doesn't always stay that way. And so we can be very glad and thankful to our Heavenly Father. And we'd like to bring the love of Sister Martha Cieslak and Brother Danny and Sister Judy McClugan and Sister Sandy Martin from the class in Mahomet. And we're hoping to see Brother Jim and Sister Linda here a little later on this evening. We chose the subject for our discourse through some experiences that we've had and some overrulings of the Lord on our behalf to correct us in some things that we were amiss. And we wanted to relate a couple experiences. One comes up occasionally, and I'm sure each one of us has this same type of an experience. Somebody will come and say, gee, what should I do when someone has come up and told or given an evil report concerning one of the brethren or somebody? And we've had that question ask us more than once in our Christian walk, and we've experienced those things more than once, and so we'd like to try to have an answer to that in the discourse today. And one scripture that came to mind when that question was asked me the last time was the Proverbs 6, and what came to mind was the last half of verse 19. And, of course, the first verse, which said, and this is Proverbs 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And the one that I always remembered before was the last half of the last one, or number seven, which was he that soweth discord among brethren. And whenever we're asked a question like this, it almost gets cold chills down our back anymore when we think of it. And it's because of our study of the truth and how our character should be and what we are to listen to and what we are not to listen to that gives us this great fear of being displeasing to our Heavenly Father. And then I got to looking into the... I thought, I better read the rest of that. And so we looked, and one of the things that sort of stuck in our mind after that was a proud look was the first thing in Proverbs 6:17. We had an experience along that line of something we didn't realize that we were doing and what detrimental effect it can have. And this was at home with our family. Sometimes when we hear things presented that aren't the truth, we have a tendency to, you know, go, kind of roll your eyes and that sort of thing. Well, little children learning the way they do pick that right up. This one time, my wife was explaining some things to the kids and that she was worried and concerned about. And I was sitting there thinking that, boy, this is a good opportunity to maybe share a little bit of truth, to be an encouragement. And she then mentioned some of the things that they talk about in the organizations that really are far out of harmony with the truth. And one of my kids rolled their eyes. And boy, did I feel bad about that afterwards, because here a good opportunity was lost. that was my fault. And so, you know, we had opportunity to talk to children about that. And what we realized is that if we do anything like that ever, with our brethren especially, what is the reaction? See, my wife didn't have a pleasant reaction to that. And what's our reaction if somebody rolls their eyes when we say something that wasn't right? We probably didn't mean to in the first place. And we do that. All of a sudden, they are totally turned off and won't want to hear anything that you have to say. And one of the things, or the characteristics that we are to have, is that we should be easy to be entreated, and anybody should be able to talk with us. So that was another one of the experiences that helped us take a good look at this Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. And then we had another experience with some workers. We had went to a tool show, and we were on our way back, and we happened to mention about how this one person in the service department was really helping out with a project that we were working on. And all of a sudden, one of the guys is just totally bent out of shape, for lack of a term to use, about this person. And we tried to say all of the good things we could. There were other people in the car with us. And he says, "I know how you think, Don. You know, you're always trying to look at the positive side of everything." But he wouldn't listen to it for nothing. And we tried to change the subject, and that didn't work. And we had always been able to stop that conversation, it had happened before. But this time there were other people there to listen. And we found out why he was so angry at this one person, as he had been slandered by this person 12 years before. And he had harbored resentment toward this person for the whole period of time. And so we can see what a little thing like that can do in our heart. You know, if we've been slandered by a brother or slandered by someone, we can't harbor those things. Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. We cannot let those things be in, because they can have seriously detrimental defects to our character. And one of the things that that happens as a result of it too, and we've seen this happen occasionally, is if we bring up things that happened in the past, and they were not very nice things maybe that happened to us, we end up feeling bad as a result of it. It puts a person into a bad mood. And see, when we have our discussions with our brethren, they should be things that build one another up in this most holy faith, not one that would tear one down. So again, that was something else that we had looked at, because in the Proverbs 6:18, one of the things was a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. And I'm suspecting that this person never meant a slander at all that happened in this particular case. It could be, as Pastor Russell says, we could just pass that off as just a trifling thing that didn't amount to anything. But let's first go over our Proverbs 16 through 19. These six things, and Brother Russell mentions in reprint 35:37, those six things are elements of character in direct opposition to humility. "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." And then we appreciated then the contrast of James 3:13 through 18. "Who is a wise man and imbued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have any bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and great evil. But this is the part we love then. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. One of the things that slowed me down right off was in looking at the scriptures, I pulled out the extended comments and looked in there, and outside of the comment about the six things, it didn't look like Brother Russell said anything about it. But then I ran across, and some of the brethren, I think in St. Louis, had put out these little cards from the reprint of Because the Days Are Evil, and it had in there helpful rules for daily life. And one question we were thinking of is, do we sometimes think that our particular experience or situation is not covered in our pastor's writings or the scriptures? We've heard that a lot of times, and we used to think that sometimes. That we here we have a situation we're trying to deal with that the pastor doesn't cover. So I appreciated the pastor's comments in this reprint. While treasuring and seeking to follow the various specific commands of Scripture, let us seek more and more to understand and come into sympathy with the principles which underline the divine law. This will enable us to judge of the right and wrong of such of our words, thoughts, and acts as may not be particularly specified in the Lord's words. Indeed, as we get to understand and sympathize with the principles of divine law, to that extent we are getting at the spirit of the word. And in our first thing and our experience there concerning a proud look, through our experiences there and to know that we should always be easy to be entreated and that we should always represent our Lord in every thought, word, and deed that we do, we could see there that a principle was really hurt there. After that happened, we couldn't share the truth with one at that time because there wouldn't be a hearing ear because of a proud look. And so we could see there was a great principle involved, and we could see then why the Lord would hate that. Because, see, He would always want us to give a witness whenever a proper opportunity presented itself, which appeared to be in the making in that case, but was stopped. And we looked up the word proud in Strong's. It's Strong 7311, which means high or haughty. And haughty, we looked that up in the dictionary, that's having or showing great pride in oneself and contempt for others, or arrogant. Think about that. If somebody says something that you know is out of harmony with God's word, and you go, huh, what are you doing? We're showing them, well, hey, we know how this really is, and you don't. I mean, even if that's not the thought in our heart when we did it, that's how it's going to come across to the one who saw it. And so we want to be very careful. And the word look, I thought this was interesting, is Strong's 5869. Eye, and we know what an eye means, wisdom, or fountain. And so a high or haughty wisdom is shown by a proud look. In Job 40, verses 11 and 12, we looked at some of the scriptures that had to do with the proud. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold, everyone that is proud, and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. 1 Samuel 16:7. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. See, if we give a proud look, where did that stem from? So we may have some pride in our heart that needs removed. And even if a man or men didn't see that, the Lord would see what was in our hearts. And in the sixth volume on page 89 and 90, Brother Russell brings out that pride is an important element of the fallen human nature, and it must be continually reckoned with. We all have to deal with that. And in that section in the volume there, he goes over those who are drawn to God. And see, the ones who have a measure of pride or self-sufficiency in themselves don't feel the need for a Savior. And they're not really drawn to the Lord. And then they're not usually desiring to worship God, and not very humble most of the times. Okay, then we have the case where those who are spirit begotten, those who were humble and presented themselves to the Lord and accepted the call. Then what happens? We begin to receive the spirit of a sound mind, and we should find that in reasoning power we're well above our fellows. But see, that shouldn't bring pride, but appreciation to our Heavenly Father and His truth. And Brother Russell says that's another one of the dangers that happens. But all we have to do is realize that God's standard is perfection, and that we can have no proud thought, and that our desire always should be mutual helpfulness one to another with the brethren, and we're to do good unto all men as we have opportunity. In the reprint 3593, the one entitled Because the Days Are Evil, on the number 6 in the Helpful Rules for Daily Life, Brother Russell mentions, God's people should beware of pride as they would avoid the most deadly plague. And we appreciated that comment very much. In fact, after, if you have the one of these cards, I don't know if I have them on the book table here or not, but if you have one of these cards, just a glance through those every once in a while does a whole lot for me. In Psalms 12, 1 through 4, Help, O Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fall from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off the flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, With our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? And Psalm 40, verses 3 and 4, And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, or reverence, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Psalm 101, 4 through 7, A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I think one of the things that really helps is when we realize that these are the things that God abhors. He hates these characteristics in a person. That helps us notice them, even the little things in ourselves, more quickly. In Proverbs 21, 3 and 4, To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Now, there's a good opposite to a proud look. You know how sometimes when you have difficulty and the brethren come up and they want to help you? Now, that's a helpful, loving look from the Lord that we should be giving instead. And if someone is out of the way, or they're telling us, say, a false doctrine or something like that, if we're helpful in our actions toward them and not don't have a resentful, proud attitude about it, they're more than likely to listen. You know, come, let us reason together and be calm about it. It doesn't have to be solved in 2 minutes. It might be a few months or years, whatever the case may be. And see, in patience possess ye your soul. And so, rather than having a proud look, let's always be mutually helpful one to another. Number 2, a lying tongue. There's a good reprint on that, reprint 2156, Keep Thy Tongue from Evil.
And we thank Thee, out of the goodness of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Again, remember, Brother Russell mentioned these first six all have the opposite of humility in the heart. Another reprint that's really good is reprint 2442, Blessing God and Cursing Men. And that's from James 3:8 through 10. But the tongue can tame no man, can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And as we see, even with people in the world, where the tendencies for that occur is when one has slandered another. You have a tendency to want to bite back. And that's a characteristic of the fallen nature, which we want to fight. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Proverbs 12:19-22. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. So don't we all want to be a delight unto the Lord? See, we'd like to speak the truth in love and share the wonderful divine plan of the ages with others as we have opportunity, but especially with our brethren. And one of the things we appreciated the pastor mentioned is when we come together as brethren, one of the subjects that we're not to talk about are secular subjects. And there is so much of the truth that we can share, parallels, jubilees, divine plan of the ages, dispensation, creation, baptism, witness, and seal of the Holy Spirit. You could just go on and on and on. And sometimes we might need some of those in our pocket, pull out the list. Let's talk about thus and so. And I know that helps me. Psalms 119, 159 to 163. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth a great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. And see, as we come to appreciate our Heavenly Father and his character more and more, any tendency to lie would be an abhorrence to us. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. Remember, hands represent professions. And if you shed blood, or if you shed it, you murder. And innocent would be righteous. And blood, of course, is life. So there's the literal aspect of this, which, as Brother Perry was going over, looking at the experiences that our Lord went through and how wonderful he was in laying down his life. See, the scribes and Pharisees shed innocent blood there literally. But see, our professions could murder a righteous life or be attempted in that direction. And so it comes a lot closer to home. Remember, Brother Russell said, slander is murder. In Matthew 5:22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother, and we see this is where murder or shedding of blood by the hands comes from, whoever is angry with his brother, and in the scripture it said without a cause except that was spurious, shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire or Gehenna. And we looked up angry, that's Strong's 37:10. I thought this was good here too. It says, provoker in rage, become exasperated or irritated? Have the brethren ever done things that caused us to be irritated? Sad to say. And see, it says, he who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. In our cases, we want to be judged or chastised by the Lord, that we might realize what we had done amiss, and that we might go ask forgiveness of our brethren. Raca, Strong's 44:69, O empty one, worthless. See, who says to his brother, thou empty one, you're worthless, shall be in danger of the council. There was a interesting thing, I believe it's from reprint 5007. And Brother Russell mentioned there that he was applying some of this to the mediatorial phase of the kingdom also. And the council there would be the ancient worthies. So if somebody was of the attitude of heart where they were saying that others were worthless, they would need to have some instruction at the council of the ancient worthies. But whoever shall say, thou fool, and fool was from Strong's 3474, which means dull or stupid, heedless, a blockhead, absurd. See, if we ever have a thought like that in our heart toward our brethren, this would be the warning. And that was from reprint 5007, paragraph 4. If one were angry enough to call a Christian brother a fool, it would imply that he were in serious danger of the second death. And remember, in the tabernacle, when we were to, when Brother Russell was going over the sacrifices, how they were viewed as a stench without in the camp, and how they were a sweet smelling savor in the court, and in the holy there was a sweet incense on that incense altar going under the veil into the most holy. And that's how our Heavenly Father views our sacrifices, and that's how we are to view the sacrifices of our brethren. And if we even think about going from one end to the country, one end of our country to the other, to go to a convention to meet with the brethren have to consider a lot of things, and that's a sweet incense, a sacrifice to our Heavenly Father, to put the flesh under the stress of going the distance, and the new creature winning over that, our brethren that have driven up all night from Florida and other places and have helped each other out. These are all sweet incenses that go up before our Heavenly Father, and that's what we want to see in all our brethren. And Brother warns of the danger if we're, and here's where anger comes in, and the end of this comes in. See, if we can't see any good in our brethren, and we speak evil of their sacrifices continually, he says, we shall surely fear for them that they've not only left the holy and the court, but have gone out of all relationship with God. So what a serious thing this is, and what hatred can lead to. Matthew 27:1-5. Brother Russell the scriptures go over what the chief priests and elders did when they counseled to put our Lord to death. And then in verse 3 shows where Judas had betrayed him, and then when he saw that Jesus was condemned, he went back and tried to give the money back to the scribes and Pharisees, because he thought there would be a different result. And then here was his statement in verse 4, saying, I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And remember, as it says in the scriptures, it would have been better for that man had he never lived. And see, he had he betrayed our Lord to be slain. And then in Matthew 27:20-26, and this is where the chief priests and elders were persuading the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas instead and destroy Jesus. And then we've got to go to verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. See, what a sad condition that was for the nation of Israel, and it resulted in their 1845 years of disfavor. And even in their regathering back into their land, the Lord said they will not go altogether unpunished. They actually requested their punishment there, really. Let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And next is an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. We looked up the word deviseth, and it was Strong's 2790, and it meant to scratch or fabricate. Remember, most of the time, I guess they still do that if you wanted to make a statue or images or things like that. You would use the tools and you would scrape the material away and you would form that image. And remember, this is a heart that deviseth wicked imagination, so we'd like to put all of these together. The word wicked was nothingness or vanity. And imaginations, I came to appreciate this a little more. In Webster, it says, the act or power of forming mental images of what is not present. And I always used to think about this wicked imaginations or vain imaginations. And in my mind, I'd always thought that imaginations might always be bad for us. But we find that's not true. See, write down the vision and make it plain upon tables. Brother Russell scratched or collected the information from the scriptures to produce the vision on the tables and formulated that all in his mind and wrote it down. It is to produce a mental image of something that is not present. And so that had to be done to develop the divine plan of the ages. We have a mental image or an imagination of our Heavenly Father and his character that we would like to have grow brighter and brighter all the time. And I kind of especially appreciated this myself because I could, before we had learned the truth, I could never really picture anything in my mind. And I would try, and other people told me it was easy, like picturing someone's face, for instance. Can't you just think of their name and see their face in your mind? And I would draw a blank. But by the Lord's grace, we think of our brethren many times when we get the mental picture in our mind of not only their faith, but their heart and character that they're like. But see, there's hearts that deviseth wicked imaginations or scratch or fabricate nothingness or vanity and produce a mental picture as a result of it. And I was thinking about this experience that the one had who had been slandered 12 years ago. And the mental picture that he built up in his own mind of how wicked this person was, when the guy's really a nice guy. And he would bend over backwards to help you, and so would this other person that had the problem for about the 12 years. He's also a very nice guy, and would bend, he's a person that works for me. He'd do anything, and gladly do it too. But see how evil something like that can get if it's in there and festering? See, we have to get those things out of our character. It's imperative. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. See whether they be good or bad. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off. And we see what happened with Solomon when he was seeking the Lord and appreciated our Heavenly Father. And he had desired a wonderful thing. It was wisdom. And he was given wisdom. But then that wisdom went to his head. And now he's not listed as one of the ancient worthies. We know he'll be back in the resurrection with all the rest, but he won't have that extra privilege. Then in Romans 1:18 through 32, in the news and around the world, and the things that cause AIDS and so forth like that, and those people think they should have equal rights, etc. Just a good look through Romans 1:18 through 32 shows how things become in the last times. And especially verse 21, because that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And then verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creator more than the creature, more than the creator. We see that's mankind steeped in selfishness. And then the scriptures go over how men would be attracted to men and women to women, and things that shouldn't be, lusting one toward another. And verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And the results of these things and thinking wicked imaginations, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, or I don't know how you pronounce that exactly. Whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We were thinking those who love unrighteousness like company. And see, that the same thing is true with slander. Slander can be stopped if there's no one to listen. But if someone likes to hear the juicy stories about one thing or another, that's what you're doing is falling into this category here, where you're having pleasure in those who are doing the unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians 10, 17, and 18. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And like we mentioned before, there's a lot of proper imaginations. The divine plan of the ages, glimpses into the most holy. Remember, Brother Russell said, if we look at nature, the animals, the trees, flowers, plants, these things that have life that only spirit beings of the divine nature can create, we have glimpses into the most holy. Those are proper imaginations. The first volume, page 191, and we just appreciate this, brethren, have these over on the book table about close your eyes for a moment to the scenes of misery and woe. See, what Brother Russell wants you to do here is imagine what this earth is going to be like with everything in perfection. No more sickness, sighing, crying, pain or death, love in every heart welling up, meeting a kindred response in every other heart. Brethren, let's help each other have these imaginations in our mind. And the fifth one, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Psalms 36, 1 through 4. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Hebrews 12:23, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And right, or straight there was right from Strong's 37:17, right, erect, upright, honest, level, or direct. See, when, remember, we are walking in the narrow way, running in the race for the prize of the high calling, we need to be sure that we're running and walking in the right way. And I'm going to have to speed up a little bit. The sixth thing was a false witness that speaketh lies. And we kind of looked at that one in two different ways. There's ones who are hypocrites. For instance, in Matthew 23:13-39, where the Lord goes over the scribes and Pharisees, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." And he gives all the reasonings of the false teachings that they were placing burdens upon the Israelites at that time, but yet they wouldn't lift a finger themselves to do the same things that they were requesting. And then there's all other false witnesses that speak lies. As we look on our chart, the papacy that was developed throughout the Dark Ages, the father of which was Satan, who was the father of lies. And there's many who were witnesses to that system there who were really steeped in iniquity, as we follow the difficulties that were given to the saints throughout the Dark Ages, the office of the Inquisition, and the threat that was upon mankind that they would be tortured forever if they didn't belong to that system. We, on the other hand, are to be ambassadors for Christ. We should show forth the character of our Lord and also of His wonderful divine plan of the ages, and show the divine love and mercy of our Heavenly Father when we have opportunity. And number seven, the one that had caused us to look toward the scripture in the beginning, was "He that soweth discord among brethren." And there's a real good reprint on that. It's 3272, and it's called "Prize Fighting Commended." Quoting from that reprint, "Whoever therefore finds in his heart, in his own disposition, a love to tell about others something that is to their defilement, to their discredit or injury, should see that he is proportionately deficient in the spirit of love, in the spirit of the Lord. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, justly or unjustly. It is ready to believe all that is good, and anxious to disbelieve and would avoid mentioning anything that is discreditable. Our duty would move it to speak, only duty would move it to speak at all of that which is to the discredit of another, and then it would be spoken only in such a manner as the Scriptures and the Spirit of love would approve to those who ought to know, and with a view to the assistance of the wrongdoer. Let us then, as new creatures, be encouraged with every better understanding of the captain's word and will respecting us, full of confidence in his wisdom and his grace, that he is willing and able to bring us off conquerors in the full sense if we are obedient to him. Let us strive that we may be able to say with the apostle at the close of our experience, 'I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day.'" See, that's our goal. We should keep our mind on the prize at all times. And then we should be able to assist our brethren also. Galatians 6:1-10. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one to the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Being weary in well-doing could easily be rolling our eyes back when one person has the same problem over and over again. But we should turn their minds to the Scriptures and the assistance of the Lord whenever something like that happens. In the October 6th manna, actually we have a whole list of mannas that are good for this very subject. Let me find out which little piece of paper I've got on here. You might take these down if you have any experiences on the lines of evil surmisings or evil reports. February 13th, July 2nd, August 6th, August 27th, and September 10th are all excellent along this line. And from the October 6th manna, it was from Luke 9:55. Ye know not what spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Comments. So with all the Lord's disciples, their continual study should be to avoid that hypercritical disposition to sentence and to destroy other people while desiring mercy for themselves. The rule which the Lord establishes is that we must expect from Him mercy only in proportion as we shall exercise this grace toward others. The fault-finding disposition that is ready to accuse and condemn everybody indicates a wrong condition of heart, one which all of the Lord's people should be on guard against. Mercy, goodness, love are the elements of character which He desires to see in the spiritual Israelites, and without which we cannot long continue to be His children. And that's from reprint 33:15. Then it's our responsibility also concerning he that soweth discord among brethren to exhort those who are unruly. 1 Thessalonians 5:14-15. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all. See that, Brother Russell makes a special emphasis on see that, none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. The word see that, he said, implies a great responsibility. See, neither are we to slander anyone else, but we're not to permit slanderous statements to come our way either. And in reprint 3595, it has a very nice, there's a subheading in there, rather reprove them in love. And Brother Russell mentions, if one begins to tell you an evil report of others, stop him at once, firmly but kindly. If it isn't directed toward you, then leave, showing your disapproval. And but before, you might stop them very quickly, but in your mind, go to the Lord in prayer for help. And one thing that should be foremost in our mind in any situation like that is that the words of our mouth and meditations of our heart in the matter might be acceptable unto the Lord. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Jude 1:17-25. But beloved, remember ye the words that were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And Brother Russell, or Brother Perry, excuse me, going over the poems there were really wonderful. I don't have the poem with me, but the one Faultless is really good, how the Master could present us faultless in the condition that we're in. And then we'd like to close with one of the sections. It was under Blessed Are the Pure in Heart, from our reprint of Because the Days of Are Evil, and it was helpful hint number 7. Blessed are the pure in heart. Be pure, maintain a conscience void of offense toward God and men. Begin with the heart, the thoughts. Harbor no thoughts that in any sense of the word would be evil. To make sure of this, have Christ Jesus as your pattern, well and much before your mind. When evil is obtruded upon you, either from without or from within, lift up your heart to Him in prayer for the grace promised to help in time of need. Keep constantly near you the thought and prayer, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And we, our earnest desire is that the realizing the things that our Heavenly Father hates and knowing what He loves will give us the courage to be able to stop any evil reports that we hear, whether it be of individuals talking to us in the world. That's a common thing, gossip, they call it. And we shouldn't really listen to those things. Those are not uplifting to the new creature, and it not only hurts the one who is doing the gossip, but it also hurts anyone who listens. And our desire is that you, my brethren, would continue to be faithful, and that we might see our brethren in convention year after year, this side the veil, and then forever on the other side. May the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Don. Let us close with the use of hymn number 6. He has requested that we close with this hymn, and we'll have him dismiss his discourse with prayer. Hymn 6. Thank you.
most kind and loving, merciful Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name, and hallowed be the name of thy precious Son, our Lord Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we desire that as we walk in this narrow way, that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart might be acceptable in thy sight, dear Heavenly Father, and that we would be keenly aware any time that we are out of harmony with thy will and out of harmony with thy character, dear Heavenly Father. And we desire, as you have promised, that anything that we might have amiss might be revealed unto us, that we might be faithful unto death and be a more than overcomer. We desire thy special blessing upon all thy dear Israel everywhere, especially those who are going through difficult experiences. And we desire that you would work in us both to will and to do of thy good pleasure. And we thank you so much for the privilege of being with our brethren at convention, and we desire thy blessing upon our fellowship. And it's in our Lord's most precious name we pray. Amen.